Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Hello, hello, hello.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's test the system here and see on this New Year's Eve if things are working. Todd, can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear.
Okay, well, anyway, everybody, thank you for joining us on this New Year's Eve edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. We'll be discussing, of course, WWE's big day one pay-per-view tomorrow, as well as some other items that have come up in the news at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, obviously you can hit us up in our chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's start out with this. Toni Storm is gone from the WWE, and there has been an entire storm, so to speak, of rumors of why, how, if WWE released her, if she quit. The answer is Toni Storm asked for and was granted her release. She actually did do a house show where she competed in a three-person match, a triple threat match, and then just flew home. And from what I hear, she had probably seen the writing on the wall. In other words, and this is something we had gotten into a lot on this show, and I think it's something that other shows neglect a lot to talk about, and that is we can bitch about the WWE's policies and their bad booking and the way people are treated. And that's one thing. We're fans, and we can shut the show off, or we can come on the air and gripe about it or take to social media. But the main thing to remember when these things happen is the work the workers are not blind to it. Toni Storm took a good look at Rhea Ripley and said, here's somebody who was NXT champion, brought up here with a lot of fanfare, basically ruined. Here's Nikki Cross. Yeah, she was the women's champion, but my God, she's being treated like garbage now. Look at the way they're treating some of the other females in this division. I'm going to get my title shot, which I did. I'm going to get a two-week, three-week push, and then I'm back to obscurity. She saw the writing on the wall. And she's probably correct. That's probably exactly what was going to happen. She'd be thrown into a nameless tag team with a random partner. And she just said, it's not for me. Now, the WWE has clearly heard what Tony Khan said when Tony Khan made the statement he's going to be much more selective about who he signs. He said, as we have said on this show, the place is getting full. And we only have so many hours of television time, and we're going to need to be much more selective. Well, the women's division could use a boost, so perhaps Toni Storm will go there. But the WWE no longer fears people being released. They just don't. And it appears like their policy has went from, if you ask for your release, you can have it, unless they got major plans for you. You ask for your release, you can basically get it. Now, I do know that there are some other people who asked for their release and were flat out told no. Rhea Ripley was one of them. So obviously they have some plans for her. Apparently they had no plans for Toni Storm. They wasted no time at all in granting her release. So Toni Storm is gone from the WWE mic, and it goes to show you, I think the WWE has lost that fear that AEW is going to sign everyone.
Right, and look,
Tony Storm, not Tony Storm, but Tony Khan, I'm sorry, is kind of being smart about this. Now, granted, we don't know if she's actually taken her fight back yet, do we? Back to
yeah,
England,
she did.
Right? She did?
Well.
So, but that wouldn't, would that stop her from possibly signing with AEW? You know,
no.
I mean, she could go back to England. She could go back to England and end up in NXT UK or even back with Paige's mama's crew. You know.
Yeah,
yeah,
I mean,
so,
we'll see what's next for Toni Storm. The one thing I do know for sure is that she probably made the right decision. She was never really given. I know people are going to say, well, she was given a push. She fought Charlotte. She had the big thing with Charlotte. The problem was her character was never fleshed out enough for people to really see who she is and who she could be. And so it was just another sort of, I don't know, what do you want to say, generic wrestler stepping up, getting a title shot, not being able to cut it, going back down into the roster. And Toni Storm really isn't a generic wrestler. Toni Storm has a lot of personality and things if you allow her to show it, but she was allowed to show it. And I think this is the problem with the WWE's women division to a large extent, is we have two or three really good personalities, and then the rest are very generic. We know who Charlotte Flair is. We know what her personality is. We know who Becky Lynch is. We know what her personality is. Probably Asuka, when and if she comes back. We know all about her. Maybe one other or two others. The rest are in limbo. We don't know who Nikki Cross is. She's a crazy girl who was a part of the Eric Young's group, Sanity, or is she a superhero? We don't even know, you know, Alexa Bliss is in limbo. We don't know how she's going to come back. There's really no definition of the character of, like, Tamina other than her heritage. Dana Brooke, same way. Who's Liv Morgan? I'm just this little girl from New Jersey. Well, that's not a really good image. She was better off with the other image, quasi-Harley Quinn gimmick. But they gave that kind of to Alexa Bliss. And we just have a sea of women who are just like, well, there's no real personality there. I mean, you even got Shotzi Blackheart over there, and you're not even exploring her personality, which is pretty, you know, over the top. So the WWE doing a lousy job of promoting their women's division other than a very select few. Very select few. Now, aside from that, there had been some rumors that the card tomorrow would be affected because of the COVID diagnosis of a few of the people. I'm being told that there is no change in the card. I'm being told everybody's fine. They've passed the period of where they had to be quarantined or whatever, and that everybody should be fine. I'm not going to make any commentary here because people say, oh, to try to keep it to wrestling. Okay, I'll keep it to wrestling. But you make your own conclusions about why people who come down with COVID can wrestle 7 days later. Anyway, let's get right to this. Because day one could end up being a very important pay-per-view. I've been told that the angle involving Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns is a WrestleMania angle. And that's why people were sent home. Of course, Brock Lesnar wasn't there anyway, but Roman Reigns was sent home and a few other people because they wanted to make sure nothing got in the way of this pay-per-view because this angle needed to be dropped. Now, I'm going to give you a spoiler, so I'm going to tell you ahead of time, if you don't want to know the probable results of the main event, put your hands over your ears for a second. Apparently, there's been some advertising, and it was advertising that there would be a lot of six-man tag matches at house shows. Drew McIntyre and I believe, I don't remember who his tag team partners are. It might have been the Street Profits or somebody, or maybe it was New Day, versus Roman Reigns and the Usos. That's been dropped. And now they're saying Drew McIntyre will take on the winner of tomorrow's day one pay-per-view. Well, here's a big news flash for you. Brock Lesnar doesn't do house shows. So if Brock Lesnar doesn't do house shows, it would be pretty hard for Drew McIntyre to have a title match against a man who's not showing up. So I think, Todd, that pretty much solidifies it that obviously Brock Lesnar is losing this main event tomorrow.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about this main event with Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns and everything. It looks like, by the looks of it, Lesnar's not going to win this Universal title from Reigns tomorrow night, and maybe he might win it at WrestleMania, a big one.
Yeah, Mike, Brock Lesnar does not do house shows. So when house show venues are advertising Drew McIntyre fighting whoever happens to be the champion, that pretty much gives it away.
Yeah, that pretty much does. And frankly, I think the fact of the matter is it looks like it's not going to be, you know, the way the storyline is going, he's going to stick with Paul Heyman's going to stick with, you know, Roman Reigns and them. So to me, if Brock Lesnar loses, I think it could be a pretty big deal that he could lose and could end up going over the Raw, you know? So, I mean,
I think we nailed it before. I think what's going to end up happening is Paul Heyman is going to walk down that aisle with Brock Lesnar. Roman Reigns is going to shoot him daggers saying, I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. I knew you were on Brock Lesnar's side. And when push comes to shove, Paul Heyman is going to cost Brock Lesnar the match, and they're going to reveal that this was all a plan to screw Brock Lesnar out of his title shot. Paul Heyman is going to say, I told you I'm here to protect the Tribal Chief from Brock Lesnar, and I did. And blah, 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 and we're all going to have supposedly been swerved. That's going to lead probably to Brock Lesnar not being around for a little while, probably winning the Royal Rumble as a surprise entrant and challenging Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. That's what I feel is going to happen. Otherwise, I don't see, what's the big thing? If Paul Heyman then turns on Brock Lesnar and Brock Lesnar just goes to Raw, then there's no conclusion. Thinking that they'll probably have Brock do nothing for a little while, show up at that Royal Rumble, win it, re-challenge Roman Reigns for the third time, and this time, you know, he'll be this out of control beast who, you know, even Paul Heyman can't control. That's what the tagline's going to be. So that's what I think's happening. So we sort of gave away, I guess, the main event, because there's no way Brock Lesnar's doing house shows. I'm telling you right now, there's no way. So that means Roman Reigns does retain that belt. It's not maybe. They're advertising Drew McIntyre fights the winner of this day one championship match. And it's not going to be Brock Lesnar. So it obviously is Roman Reigns. So let's go to what's going to be the kickoff here, which I hear is going to be Ricochet and Cesaro versus Sheamus and Ridge Holland. And I'm glad Ricochet and Cesaro have something to do. Sheamus and Ridge Holland are going to win this. They're probably going to end up pinning Ricochet. He's probably the guy there that's going to take the fall. They've got something planned for Sheamus and Ridge Holland. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but I know Ridge Holland didn't get off to a good start, but now they're starting to crank it up a little bit, and they've got this deal with Sheamus being his mentor and Ridge Holland having this hero worship of Sheamus, and certainly this is going to lead to something. And I don't think they'd cut it off at the knees, Todd, by having Sheamus and Ridge Holland lose this.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said about this Cesaro, Ricochet versus Ridge Holland and and Sheamus tomorrow night. Well, like you said, I got that feeling you're going to see Ricochet take the pinfall like he always does.
Yeah, that's kind of been his job lately, Mike, sad as that may be, and I don't see that changing.
Yeah, I don't see it changing either. And frankly, out of the two other people on that other team, the one that's likely to stay there is Cesaro, because they can get something out of, they can get something out of him. He's big enough and strong enough that they can get something out of him. Whereas Ricochet could be one of the guys in the next round of cuts, you know.
Yeah, unfortunately, that even if he's not in the round of cuts, he may be someone who's going to ask for his release because he's actually not doing much. And I know that he's been on social media sometimes saying, oh, you know, I'm not necessarily unhappy. I get to do what I love to do and here and there. I don't buy it. A guy like that who has that athletic ability, and here's what you have to understand about him too. These are the type of wrestlers who don't wrestle into their late 40s. These are the type of wrestlers whose career is over in their mid-30s, or they change their style drastically because you can't do that. You can't continue to do that into your late 40s. You just can't. I mean, some people say, well, AJ does some flying stuff. Yeah, once in a while. He doesn't do Ricochet stuff. Even Jeff Hardy greatly changed a lot of his high flying, and he only does certain things. You have to modify. So Ricochet knows that. So if he's going to light it up somewhere, he's going to have to do it in the next, you know, several years. And it looks like it's not going to be the WWE. I don't think they see him as anybody that they're going to use in a major way. And he knows that. Now we'll get to Drew McIntyre versus Madcap Moss. I feel sorry for Moss, and I'll tell you why. There's a lot of hate going on with this. Oh, I hate the Corbin, Happy Corbin, Madcap Moss. I don't. I think they're doing a great job. And I think Moss is doing a fantastic job. They nailed the character. For once, the dress, the mannerism, the look, everything, they nailed. You may not like the character, but they nailed who that character's supposed to be. And you have no doubt when he comes out that we know what this character's about. And he's actually underrated. He's a pretty good wrestler. He's fun to watch. It's not going anywhere. He's not beating Drew McIntyre. I've just said that Drew McIntyre's taking on Roman Reigns at house shows. So he sure as hell isn't going to be dropping matches to Madcap Moss before he takes on Roman Reigns. So unfortunately, Madcap Moss is going to take the fall here. The good thing about a character like Moss is he doesn't have to win a lot anyway. Madcap Moss is one of those guys who can be under 50-50. You know, he can be 30-70 and still be okay. Corbin, you're going to have to make a little tougher than that. But Moss, his sidekick, he can deal with some losses and be okay. I don't think there's any doubt about who wins this one, Mike.
Right, there is no doubt who wins this one. And look, these two guys, both of these two guys, are two of the few guys that we know who they are. Madcap Moss and Happy Corbin. We know their character. We know who they are. And that's how come it seems, if you look at these two guys, it seems like the fans are starting to turn in terms of cheering these two guys.
You know, it could be an interesting thing. It could be an interesting thing to see how that works. Eventually, if they start actually making them funny as opposed to annoying. See, right now they're purposely writing jokes that they know are not funny. The gimmick is he tells very, very unfunny jokes, and Corbin laughs at them because Corbin has a weird sense of humor, and no one else laughs because they're not funny. But you could modify that. And if he started really ranking on people and actually saying things that was funny, you might have something. So, yeah, I mean, you could put that on the back burner. I could see that potentially being a face team in time, depending on where it goes. Derek in the chat room was reminding me there is no SmackDown tonight. There technically is. There's like a best of whatever going on FS1. No one's going to watch it. I'm telling you right now, no one's going to watch it. So does it really count? Yeah, not really. Could they have taped something? Yeah, but I think what ended up happening was when they had that COVID outbreak, they just said, nope, forget it. Totally forget it. We don't need people coming down with a diagnosis, even if all they have is a runny nose. The guy in the ring, the guy says, I feel fine. I got a positive COVID test. I feel fine. I don't have temperature. I don't have a headache. Yeah, I got a little bit of a runny nose. They can't put him in the ring because his opponent's going to say, well, I don't want it. We're going to wrestle him and get COVID. So they can't do it. That's the problem. I'm going to give the WWE a little bit of a pass this last week and a half because, you know, what are you going to do? Your hands are tied. What can you really do? So, yeah, we can watch the best of if we want, but no one's going to, believe me. AEW ratings this week, I think, was 975. That'll blow away the SmackDown on FS1. It'll totally blow it away. I will be surprised if they get 300,000. I'll be shocked if they get 300,000. Anyway, let's move on, and it will go to the, I guess we'll go to the Street Profits versus RK-Bro. Now, this could be where the Street Profits turn heel. I don't see them winning because RK-Bro is just too over. The crowd loves him. I guarantee you, I promise you, this was supposed to be about a month and a half angle leading to either Randy Orton turning on Riddle or Riddle turning on WWE called an audible and said, this is going over. Fans really like this. There's a chemistry between the two, and we're not, for once, they're saying we're not going to break it if it's working fine. And they're going to keep stretching this out. If there is going to be a breakup, it will be at WrestleMania or just before, but it's close. Too far. So I think the Street Profits have a much better chance of flipping tonight. It's interesting that they matched him up against another face team, right? So we'll see what ends up happening with this. I don't see RK-Bro losing this, so I'm going to go with RK-Bro as retaining the belts, Mike.
Right, and look, they're not going to break up Street Profits, all right? And they're already breaking up AJ and Omos. Right? So they're not going to want to break up, you know, this team. And like you said, don't fix what ain't broken. And this isn't broken right now. And frankly, you look at it and you see and Randy Orton actually wanting to work. He's busting his ass right now, doing things, and when you can get that kind of work rate out of Randy Orton, it's always a good thing.
Yeah, Randy Orton, there's no question. Randy Orton, I heard that he was the one who pitched this idea. Originally, they wanted him to work with Braun Strowman, and he decided he'd rather work with Riddle and do this. Now, granted, he probably said, give it a month and a half, and we'll turn on each other or whatever. But seeing how well it's taken off, this is one of the few times I can honestly say when I watch Randy Orton, he looks like he's having fun. Before he looked like, well, I'm a pro and I know what I need to do and I'll just get in there and do it. He actually looks like he's enjoying this. And I think the WWE is going to ride this out as long as they can because I think both parties are benefiting from it. Randy Orton's benefiting from it. Riddle sure as hell is benefiting from it. The WWE's benefiting from it because the fans are eating it up. So, credit to them. They've created something. I'm not particularly into it, but they've created something that fans are definitely into. And they should ride it out as long as they can. Hell, if it stays as hot as it is, I wouldn't even break it up at WrestleMania. It's not worth it. Just let it ride. See what happens. Eventually fans will get sick of it, but they're not sick of it now. So I think RK-Bro wins this, Todd, and I think maybe we might see the beginnings of the Street Profits heel turn.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said. Like I noticed, like we mentioned the other day, with Montez Ford sort of doing a heelish thing to, I think Dominic Mysterio with a fake handshake.
Yep.
With a fake handshake. Like, this is a heel turn for this team.
Yeah, this could be the spot, no question. We then get to Edge versus Miz. So many people have said to me, oh, my God, why bother? We all know Edge is going to destroy Miz. We all know that's what's going to be, and that's what seems like it would be. But we still haven't seen this Beth Phoenix thing play out, so I'm going to say something happens. I don't know if Edge is going to lose necessarily, but Maurice is going to play a major role in this, and I think that's going to bring out Beth Phoenix, and I think we're going to get a big fight, and I think that's going to lead to some mixed tag team matches. I think that's what the WWE wants to have. Edge don't have a lot of time for another opponent at WrestleMania. We may actually see the beginnings of something like this at WrestleMania, which would be kind of weak, but maybe if they play it right. Depends on how they play it. So don't be surprised if Maurice costs Edge this match in some way, shape, or form, or maybe she just gets her husband disqualified and she also ends up beating on Edge or something, and that brings out Beth Phoenix. But tomorrow I think we see Beth Phoenix. Tomorrow I think she will actually show up. And the beginnings of this mixed, what will you call it, I guess, couples feud, is going to erupt, Mike.
Yeah, I think so too. And frankly, if you know the history of Miz and Maurice has a habit of handing Miz foreign objects.
Right.
She does. You know, so I wouldn't put that out of the question either.
Yeah, because it's so obvious that Edge should win that it almost makes me think, yeah, he's not going to. He's not going to. And again, we haven't seen Beth Phoenix, and we know we're going to. So if Edge just destroys The Miz, why see Beth Phoenix? She shows up on, you know, TV to do what? To yell at Maurice for what? Edge already got his revenge. So I don't see it. I don't see that. I think Edge is losing this match somehow. Maybe by disqualification or he'll win. But other than that, I don't see Edge winning this match until Beth Phoenix shows up, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this match with Edge and The Miz, I don't think Edge will win this match either tonight. Maybe in the next pay-per-view, or maybe not. Either way, you're going to see Beth Phoenix make an appearance tomorrow night. Either way.
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing. All right, so let's move on, and we'll go to the Raw Women's Championship match, which is Becky Lynch versus Liv Morgan. Now, this is where a lot of people are going to be divided, because I've seen so many people are really on the Liv Morgan wagon, saying Liv Morgan deserves to be the champion. Liv Morgan needs to win. Liv Morgan, Liv Morgan, Liv Morgan. I disagree. I think Liv Morgan has been sort of handcuffed. And by that I mean, you took away all of the weird elements of her personality that made her interesting to begin with, and now you're going to try to push her off as, I'm just this little girl from New Jersey, and I had a dream. That's Becky Lynch's deal. First she was, you know, Harley Quinn. Now she's Bayley. Why can't she just have her own personality? I don't know what that personality is. You're going to have to talk to her and see, you know, what her interests are and what she can pull off. But to me, and I'm not trying to be mean, Liv Morgan does not look like the girl next door. Liv Morgan does not look like I just grew up in a little family and my dream is to be a WWE superstar. She doesn't look like that. So I don't buy it. Bayley does. So I did buy it. Liv Morgan does not. And she also doesn't talk and act. Liv Morgan tends to be, what's the right word for it? As a face, at least, she tends to be a little bit annoying. She has a nails on a blackboard sort of a voice, and she's sort of whiny about everything she says, and it's annoying. Now, she didn't say that much with the Riot Squad, remember. She just laughed a lot at things that weren't funny, at violent things, and seemed to be, you know, more like a Harley Quinn type. Then they were going to do this weird thing where she was, I don't know, some sort of a fashion model or something, and that blew up in their faces. Now they're doing this, golly gee, I'm just a little kid, grown up, and it's not working for me. And I'll also tell, I don't think she has the personality to carry off the championship right now, and I just don't think she's ready. I don't see anything in her matches that indicate she's ready to do really good matches, really good promo work, really drive people into watching the women's division. I don't. I like Liv Morgan. I'm not trying to put her down. I think she's got a great, great potential. She's not ready right now, in my opinion. She's not ready right now. And to have Liv Morgan be the person who unseats Becky Lynch is a huge, huge mistake if you're ever, 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 ever going to have a marquee match with Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch's marquee matches would be like with Asuka, or maybe they're going to set her up for Xia Li or something. I don't know what they're going to set her up for. I guess Xia Li would be more Charlotte, but I don't know. I don't know who they're going to set her up for, but Liv Morgan's not the one. So I don't think Liv Morgan's going to win. I think Liv Morgan will put on a really good match, and here's what Liv Morgan has to do tonight, or tomorrow night, I should say. What Liv Morgan has to do tomorrow night is prove she belongs. In other words, give me 15 minutes of a really good match where I say this is not all Becky Lynch. This, a lot of this is Liv Morgan really putting on a really strong effort. Show me that. And then I'll say, okay, well, you know what? She lost the match, but she's closer now to being someone who can hold that title. And maybe 6 months, 8 months from now, it's a different story. Right now, I just don't think she's ready, Mike. I'm going to say Becky Lynch is going to win this.
Yeah, I'm going to say Becky Lynch is going to win it also. And think about this. We're looking at the other two. She was the weakest of the Riot Squad because – Remember when they fired Sarah Logan, who came to Sarah Logan's defense?
Yeah, AJ Styles. Yeah.
AJ Styles. And he flat out said it was a mistake to fire Sarah Logan, and he could see what we saw. Sarah Logan
right.
had a personality and a well defined personality. Just like, think about this. Mandy Rose has had several different gimmicks, and she's carried it off with pretty much, she's carried them all off because she has a personality about her. You can understand where that gimmick is going. I mean, the gimmick they got her doing now in NXT, she's absolutely carrying it off very well, you know, because of that personality.
Yeah, see, it's so hard. People don't understand how hard it is. People think, oh, well, you learn a few wrestling moves. Give me the microphone. I can talk a little bit. I could do that. Most people can't until they get into that situation. And what I see with Liv Morgan is someone who never was given the microphone all that much really having trouble. Because you got to walk that thin line between being righteously angry and being a whiner. Drew McIntyre had to walk that line, if you remember. He kept saying, I never really lost the title, and I wasn't given a fair, and he started to sound like a whiner. And he realized it. He was smart enough to realize it and kind of ease up on that a lot and start out with, well, you know, a new federation, a new era for me, and that kind of stuff. And that's kind of what he needed. So maybe that would be a good idea. If Liv Morgan were to drop this match, maybe she should switch brands. And that would be a little bit better. But one thing she's got to correct, she has to correct her delivery. Her wrestling, she's going to be a great wrestler. She's working hard at it. She's gotten a lot better. She's still not ready, but she's gotten a lot better. And she's going to get a lot better still because she's still very young, very young. But she has to self-critique her delivery because it's terrible, I'm telling you. It's not somebody you want to root for. Now, you can say, well, look at the little girl in the audience who's rooting for her. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying no one will root for her. But the majority of the people don't want to hear that sort of, I don't have to deliver. That's people. It's annoying. Don't talk like that anymore. Just say what you got to say. Make it sound like it's coming from the heart, because right now it sounds like you're reading it off the palm of your hand and you're whining. And that's not what you want a face character to be. If Carmella did it, it would work. If Liv Morgan was doing Carmella's character, you'd say, well, yeah, that's probably right. That's why it's a more subtle thing than people realize. The difference between being a heel and a face and knowing I can't really talk like this, there's certain things I shouldn't say or can't say, I have to measure myself. That's important. Now, some people who are just natural at it. Now, I've, you know, it's no secret that my favorite wrestler currently in WWE is AJ Styles, and I'll critique him even and say, as a heel, AJ's not all that believable. He always comes across on the mic like he's kidding. He always comes across as that guy who's making fun of people who have a big ego rather than really having a big ego. He always has that smile on his face saying, I'm this and I'm that, and it's just like, yeah, you know, he doesn't believe that. He never comes across as a legit egomaniac or a legit. He always comes across as a humorous sort of a, yeah, he's not really that bad of a bad guy. And that's unfortunate because it's probably stifled his career a little bit as far as the heel potential is concerned. As a face, he's fine. But AJ hasn't quite mastered that heel microphone stuff. Now, there are people who are just exactly the opposite. And you say, man, as a heel, they just absolutely tear it up, Kevin Owens. As a heel, tears it up. As a face, he doesn't quite have that down either. And then there are people who you just say, man, they're just a natural face. The way they talk, the way they act, it's very hard to imagine them ever turning heel because they have so much charisma that people are going to root for them anyway. Liv Morgan is one of those people who people want to root for her. And whether you think it's misogynistic or you think it's sexist or whatever you want to call it, I'll tell you the reason they want to root for her. One, she's young. Two, she's working really hard and people are saying, oh, well, you know, she's an up-and-comer. She's really trying hard. But three is her looks. Guys like her. They're like, oh, man, she's hot. She should be the champion. Well, you know, you're the same people who say you shouldn't judge people by that. She's not ready. In the ring, skill-wise, she's not ready to be the champion. If we're going to judge champion by looks, okay, hand her the belt, then that's fine. But that's not what you're judging by. So I think Becky Lynch will win this, and I think maybe we might even see Liv Morgan make a move to the opposite Fed after this, Todd.
Yeah, absolutely right there. Like you said, with Liv Morgan and everything being on Monday Night Raw, she's not getting over there. She's not getting over with the fans on Raw. Maybe send her back over to SmackDown. Maybe she could get over there with the fans.
It would certainly be worth a shot, Mike. I mean, at this stage of the game, to lose, she's definitely a talent, and people do come to see her. She's a draw to an extent.
And really, if you think about it, you want her to be a face, and you're trying to put her against Becky Lynch. The problem with that is Becky Lynch is not getting booed.
That's true.
They're trying. God bless them. They're trying to get her booed. But she just... The fans just aren't having it. They're just not. All right? So If you put her against Becky Lynch and you want her to get cheered, how are you going to make a face off of somebody the fans refuse to boo?
I agree. They didn't do Liv Morgan any favors. Becky Lynch has got to be the most popular heel in the Federation. Now, Derek was saying, I thought you meant AEW. No, Liv Morgan can't go to AEW. Liv Morgan's not ready for AEW. AEW actually demands an even higher work rate. It's not that Liv Morgan doesn't have the ability to do it. She does, and I've been praising her through the months, saying she's getting better, and she is getting better. But she's not there yet. She's not there where she could do a main event women's match and make people go, oh, wow, good match. She's just not. You know, we joke about Sasha Banks is injury prone and this and that, but they're ready. You know what I mean? You can kind of count on them and say, man, they're going to deliver a match. They might make a mistake or two or whatever, but they're going to deliver a really good, solid match. I don't know if Liv Morgan's ready to do that on a regular basis. I don't think so. And I damn sure know she's not ready to talk her way into fans being interested in a match. Because I see that Becky Lynch has to almost feed her lines, you know. And then Becky Lynch is trying. God bless Becky Lynch. She overreacts and acts like, oh, she got the best of me. And but you can sort of tell she didn't. And that's not good. It's just not good. She'll get there. Liv Morgan will be a women's champion one day in WWE. I really think she will. I don't think it's this time. Okay, New Day versus the Usos. Well, I'm going to tell you, we've just had Xavier Woods win the King of the Ring tournament. I cannot imagine that they put the belts back on the New Day. I just can't. Not with all this Roman Reigns stuff going on and the Usos really needing to stay strong. And Roman Reigns had just barely said, I don't like it when my cousins lose. And well, we can't have them looking that weak. We can't make the Usos Roman Reigns' version of the Miztourage, the B team. You know, we can't. So I think what needs to happen tonight, you always got Kofi Kingston's always going to be popular. Xavier Woods has the crown. They got to take one for the team. And they got to make the Usos look like the Usos should look, which is vicious and very hard to beat. I want to come out of this pay-per-view tomorrow night with the impression, with the announcer saying that was a very impressive performance by the Usos. This is not going to be an easy team to take this title from. Gotta be. If Woods and Kofi Kingston actually win, I don't know. What good is it then for the Usos to hang around Roman Reigns and do everything he says and never win? Their career's no better than it was. So, yeah, I think it has to be that way. I'm going to say the Usos do win. I think the WWE will make the right call here, Mike. I mean, they may not win fair, but they're going to win.
Right. And to tell you the truth, this could be another one of these classic matches between these two teams. They've had a number of these type of matches between them. I mean, classic matches. Yeah, the Usos should win, but it's gonna. I think this has a potential of being a show stealer. This match.
Yeah, so do I, because they put on so many great matches, and I'm not suggesting that the Usos should squash the New Day by no means. But I do think that at the end, we should have a definitive winner where we say, wow, okay, well, the Usos are, they're the team right now. They're the team to beat. Not, oh, they got lucky. Oh, my God. And, you know, they lost 9 times and the referee didn't see it. I don't want that. I want the Usos to come out of this looking like, okay, well, even the New Day couldn't do this, so this is not going to be that easy. We'll see what ends up happening with that. WWE Championship Fatal 4-Way match, Big E versus Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens versus Bobby Lashley. This is a hard one to call. And I'll tell you why this is a hard one to call. If this was anyone else, just one-on-one against Big E, I would say Big E is winning. Because they still want to keep Big E looking strong. He's doing okay as champion. I know a lot of people are saying he's not, but I think he is. But when you have a fatal four-way, and you can have someone else pinned, and Big E doesn't even have to be pinned, sometimes that's an excuse to get a belt away from someone who you still want to keep looking strong. So you say, well, he's not going to be involved in the decision. Big E's still going to come out of this saying, I didn't get pinned. Nobody made me submit, and yet I don't have my belt. That could happen. That legitimately could happen. Now, to Mike's point, I have heard some people suggest that Big E retains the belt and eventually goes with to WrestleMania with Brock Lesnar. That would be an interesting match. But I think the money, when I heard that they had to take people off the road because a WrestleMania angle is involved in this pay-per-view, and I watched who they took off the road, Roman Reigns. Obviously, Brock wasn't on the road. I said, it's a Roman Reigns angle. The only Roman Reigns angle for WrestleMania is that Paul Heyman backstabs Brock Lesnar. And the whole thing was a setup, which means that will be a WrestleMania match. What he does afterwards, I don't know. But that will be a WrestleMania match. So Big E's going to have to take somebody else on. And whether he takes them on as a champion or he takes them on as a challenger, I'm not 100% sure. I'm not going to lie to you. If it were me, I would put it on Seth Rollins. And I'll tell you why I'd put it on Seth Rollins. I've been hard on Seth Rollins. I've been hard on Seth Rollins outside the ring. I've been hard on Seth Rollins and his attitude and some of his tweets and some of the things he says. And I've been kind of hard on his personality, his real personality. But as a professional wrestler, I don't know if the WWE's ever had anybody any better, really. He's done everything right. What has he done that's no good? You've given him lousy angles. He's done good with it. He practically carried the company on his back for a year and a half or so when he was Triple H's chosen guy and had his security, J&J security and all that. That was an awesome time for the WWE. He did not whine and complain when he was put on the mid-card status. And he was doing the, you know, Jesus gimmick. Now he's doing more like the Joker. And he's not complaining about that. He's shown himself to be extremely professional. He's wrestled even in the age of COVID with a pregnant wife and a child on the way. He didn't complain. Handled that fan situation perfectly. By the way, the WWE security did not handle the fan situation perfectly because apparently that fan was in Madison Square Garden the other night. I thought he was banned from all WWE events forever. He actually tweeted, I'm here. Unbelievable. Anyway, Seth Rollins has kind of earned it. To be honest with you, he's kind of earned it. Does he need it? Probably not. A guy like Seth Rollins, the good thing about a Seth Rollins is it doesn't matter where he is on the card, he's still interesting. You know how some people are like, well, if they're in the main event picture, they're interesting. But if they're not in the main event picture, I don't really care that much about them. Seth Rollins isn't one of those guys. He could be the opening match, and you're still sort of interested in whether he's winning or losing. He's established a lot of credibility. I wouldn't mind seeing that belt back on him. Bobby Lashley kind of needs a belt. See, that's the only thing. Without a belt, Bobby Lashley is nowhere near. Nowhere near as interesting. And he's especially not going to be interesting if you turn him face, so I really hope you don't do that. Unless you turn the entire Hurt Business face. If you do that, then I'd be okay with it. Kevin Owens can be interesting with or without a belt. I don't really see him as a champion. And Big E could potentially retain it and go into WrestleMania, which would be most logical. But if you're going to give it to anybody, if they told me we want it off Big E, then I got to give it to Seth Rollins. got to give it to Seth Rollins, because I think he would be, if not, then Bobby Lashley. But then it's more the same old of who's going to face him. You know, you're going to have the same old thing. It'll be Big E one-on-one, maybe Kevin Owens, maybe Seth Rollins. You know, I don't know if that'll be that interesting. I just think that Seth Rollins is one of those guys that when he has the belt, he can talk his a good fight, and he can deliver it. And I wouldn't mind seeing that. Having said that, I think they're going to wait till WrestleMania. So I will go with Big E, but it is very possible, Mike, that we have a new champion tomorrow.
Right. And to tell you the truth, I don't think there's going to be much. And I do think your scenario about the whole thing about them turning the Hurt Business, the entire Hurt Business, including MVP face, is probably where they're headed with this thing. Because if you look at how has treated Big E, there's not been Bobby Lashley. There's not really been. Oh, he said there's not really been any animosity, true animosity. Oh, he said I'm going to beat you, but that's not animosity. That's not venom coming from Bobby Lashley toward Big E. Now, right. There's been venom coming from Bobby Lashley toward Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens, sure, but not to Big E. So I think that it's a slow burn. What they're doing is a slow burn with possibly turning the entire Hurt Business face. And I think that's coming at some point, but not right now. But we're going to see this. Continue to see the inklings of it over the next, I don't know, 5-6 months or whatever it is, because I think that's what's going to happen. I think Big E wins, and you could absolutely put it on Seth Rollins, and he could probably he's still young enough that he can carry this company, particularly Raw, on his shoulders for a good 6 months or 8 months, you know?
Oh, easily, sure. It's not impossible that we will see Bobby Lashley go on his own without MVP, tell the rest of the Hurt Business guys, he was the reason from the very beginning that this whole thing was poison for you and poison for me, and I was too blind to see it. Have them get back together as the Hurt Business without MVP, and have MVP go get Omos and manage him. And then you'd have Almost against Lashley. That could happen. I mean, Almost has been sent home. I don't know what the situation is. I would guess the night before Raw, and that it was horrible. It was so bad that, you know, fans were actually tweeting, this is laughable. And some fans were tweeting, if you can't have a good match with AJ Styles, you know, how the hell are you ever going to have a good match? And he did not appear on Raw. So I don't know. I don't know whether they're giving Almost some time off. I don't know whether he came down sick. I don't know whether they're just isolating him. I know there was supposed to be that big match on Monday Night Raw, and it certainly didn't happen. And he's not here on this pay-per-view in any way, shape, or form. Maybe they're going to wait for that big surprise. I don't know. I don't know where this is going to go, but I know if you can't have a good match with AJ Styles, you're not going to have one with Bobby Lashley. Now, Lashley's underrated. Lashley is better than some people say. He's not AJ Styles. He's not a guy who's going to carry you. He's not a guy who you can say, well, you can be a broomstick, as I used to say about Shawn Michaels, and you'll still have a good match with him because he can carry you. He's not that guy. If you put Bobby Lashley in there against somebody who's really good, Bobby Lashley can rise to that occasion and be really good. You put Bobby Lashley in there with somebody who isn't, you got a problem. You got a big problem. So I don't know where it's going, Mike, but it is funny that they've kind of just dropped this AJ Almost thing literally. Well, I mean, they'll probably revisit it, but for some reason, Almost went home.
Right, and I do agree with you about the whole Almost thing, you know, with possibly putting him with MVP, because it would make sense, because he's not a talker, is almost. And MVP, it would fit, because, you know, Bobby Lashley as a talker is underrated, you know, at times. And we know that Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin are fairly decent on the mic. So those two guys.
Yeah, what made me think that, Mike, is when almost and Bobby Lashley squared off for that one moment, and fans were just like, oh. And then they literally just were in the ring together for like 20 seconds, but fans were into it. And if the WWE was smart, they'd have been like, oh, how about that? The fans kind of popped when it looked like these two guys were going to go at it for a while. I don't think they think the fans are going to cheer almost. He doesn't have a good enough personality to make fans cheer. They'll boo him because he's that guy who, well, nobody can knock him down. Nobody's stronger than him. Nobody's tougher than him. And then enter Bobby Lashley, who you say, well, they've been building up as the strongest, toughest guy around. Certainly he should be a match for almost, and they'll root for him. That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking is going to happen. And you're right. MVP would be a perfect fit for Almost because MVP can do all the talking. Almost is good if you ask him a question or two like AJ does. But mostly handle the mic work. And I think MVP with Almost would be – that would be gold. That would be gold. And again, if you're Bobby Lashley and you don't need to really be a heel, you just need to talk normal, he could probably handle the mic work. Lashley's poor when he has to really come out there and cut a heel promo. He's not so bad when he just has to talk on, you know, like a face and just be himself. So we'll see if that's coming. But I'm going to go for Big E retaining, even though I think it's possible he won't, Todd. What about you?
I got to go with Big E keeping the belt, too. And like you said, he just won the belt not too long ago, not even a full year. Yeah,
he did. I think he's going to retain, but it would not shock me. It really would not shock me if they put it on somebody else. We'll see. I mean, that's going to be the most interesting match of the night, in my opinion, because I honestly don't know for sure what the WWE is thinking as far as Big E and his championship reign, if they think it was it's real good and successful, or if they think it's shit in the bed. I'm not sure what they think. And again, this is a way, usually if you want to get it off somebody that you don't want pinned or submitted, this is the way you do it. You put them in a fatal four-way or a three-way, and you have them not be involved in the finish, and then you get something out of it. So anything's possible, folks. Anything's possible. Could be a very interesting pay-per-view. Obviously, on Sunday, we'll be here to talk about what happened. Thanks for listening. Have a great New Year's Eve.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio.